Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man whose mother still thinks he should try to get a real job.
Dear folks, I got this great job in a gas station. I don't want to say how much I'm getting, but let's just say it's a lot. I'm enclosing $2.
That's a good boy.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to visit with you, and we're glad you're visiting with us. And you're going to be glad you are, because Bill Hallal is back with us. Dr. Bill Hallal, Professor Emeritus of Science, Technology, and Innovation at George Washington University. His resume, folks, is immense. And as I told you before, one of the smartest guys I've ever met. And he's the president of TechCast LLC. He's the author of a very important book, Technology's Promise. And he's the author of an upcoming book that he's gonna let us take a peek into today. He's our good friend, Bill Hallal. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you back, Bill. I wanna weave into your get your thoughts on your new book on the table. But as we do that, I wanna get your thoughts on what I was saying earlier in the previous segment.
Sure.
About China. And let me just set it up for you. As I look at China, as I talk to people who are smart on China, Ted Fishman, John Nesbitt, both have been on the show for many times talking about their reporting on China, and they both have different views, by the way. Ted's a little more cautious, and John's more optimistic. But what I see about China's future, especially with regard to the United States, is there are three possible scenarios. One is that they're a real threat to us. They're more of a competitor and more, you know, more of a threat than they are a customer and, right, and a positive partner. That's one. Number two is they become actually a threat to themselves, because they're immature, capital markets, inefficient capital markets, their population issues, their government involvement, all that. And so they basically, you know, once the scenario number two would be that they kind of do a Japan kind of thing. They just can't get out of their own way. And number three is that happy days are here again. They're a great partner with us.
Right.
Now, that's a real possibility, but it's only one of the three options. Now, what do you think about my ideas?
Well, I think you're right. Those are dangers. I have comments about both of the negative scenarios. They are a threat to us in some ways, and they could be a greater threat. That's true. I agree with all that. And that highlights, I think, one of the themes of the book that I'm planning to do, the global mega crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, the world is not going to make it if we can't learn to somehow get along with these nations. And that's where enormous energy has to go in developing a international framework of collaboration, resolving these conflicts. The challenges are just so enormous that the world is just not going to survive if we continue along that path. So I think that's an area that needs enormous energy to defuse the threats of nations like China, Iran, Russia,
Venezuela,
on and on.
Venezuela?
Well, yes, that's right. I think that's a major need in a world that is struggling with these huge issues of climate change and energy and environment and weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
So,
well, and economic policies,
everything
that are more self-serving than global in thinking. But Bill, this is going to take global leadership.
It is,
and I'm not sure that we have. I'm not sure we have the people on available to us that can have that kind of leadership.
That may be.
I don't think we can count on the UN for that kind of leadership.
No, not as it's presently configured. It's an enormous challenge. It's going to occupy the best minds of all nations for decades, I think. But I think we need a new global order. I was impressed by President Bill Clinton's comment that there is no global order.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's right. Whatever you think of Bill Clinton, he's right.
Yeah, that statement is I think is correct.
There is no global system, and we need a global system.
Well, when you say global system, Bill, it makes people think you're talking one world.
Oh, no. Well, in a sense that I think the world has to work together, but we have to always retain our individual autonomy. I think that's
You're not talking about forfeiting our sovereignty. You're not saying
No. Yeah. I don't think anybody wants to give up our sovereignty. But that's true of all of the networks that are emerging. The key to making these networks function properly
right.
is that individuals retain their freedom, but the system is designed as a whole to work.
Well, you know, one great example of something that is common to all nations, that's fairly new, and that is essential to the future, as you think you'd like to see it, as I think I'd like to see it, Bill, and that's the Internet.
Yes,
and that's one area. I mean, more than food, more than energy,
exactly.
Almost more than anything is the Internet. When we come back, I'm going to get Bill to talk about that. Folks, as you know, we've reported on this quite a bit with our folks who are working on the ICANN project and on some of those other issues. We'll get Bill's thoughts on that. As I promise you, as you can tell, as you know, Bill's a very smart guy. 20 till, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much. Jeremy, thanks for being part of my day. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Lots of very good things there that will help you with your small business. Articles, archives, brain trust members like our good friend Bill Halal, who's deposited an incredible body of work on our website that you can go and listen to and learn from. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And also, don't forget to take our poll question, which is right on the homepage. We'd like to know what you think. And when you click your answer, you'll be able to see how the poll's going so far. Bill Halal is with us. Dr. Bill Halal is our good friend, longtime Brain Trust member, the author of Technology's Promise, and the author of the new book that he's working on right now and gotten a lot done on, Through the Mega Crisis. I want to read a little quick passage here. He says, some very intelligent people think there is a 60% chance that major... This is from the book, folks. Some very important people think that there's a 60% chance that major parts of the world will suffer the loss of civilization or enter a high-tech dark age. I'm going to say that again, high-tech dark age. That sounds like a contradiction in terms, doesn't it? Is it possible that this is not simply another great challenge, but a difficult passage to a rather different world? Bill, that just sounds scary. Talk to us about that.
Well, some of the points you raised about China, I think, bear on this. For instance, the fact that China practices state capitalism,
that's
a very interesting thing. It's, you know, it's a major country in the world, one of the major countries that has a very different economic system, and they are doing well at it.
So far.
Yes.
But this is no jealousy, this is no, you know, I'm getting at is I don't think that we yet know the true evaluation
of
that.
Absolutely. No, I don't think the system's going to remain as it is presently configured. I think they're going to have to move to some kind of a democratic system in time because the enormous unrest at
right.
the grassroots, like 5,000 demonstrations every year or something.
And see, that's what I meant. See, that's my number two. China is a threat to itself.
Yes, I think that's absolutely true. It's not a stable system as it's configured. But they have one thing that going for them. The fact that they've been able to run the economy from the top has given them enormous advantages. For instance, they are leading the world in environment and energy and all of those critical fields. And that's because...
But also in pollution.
Well, that's true. That's why they're trying to do these things, to solve the pollution problem,
mm-hmm.
which they know is out of control. But I think it highlights the need to make markets work. We have markets, and they're marvelous, no question about it. But we can't get them to work. We can't coordinate their activities. And
they've been able to do that. But explain what you mean by that. We have markets, but we can't get them to work. Tell me where we're broke.
Well, I mean, the near collapse of the financial markets in 2008.
Right.
Our system was out of control there.
The system, I'm going to push back. I don't think the system was out of control. I think there were some people who were out of control.
Well, I don't think so, Jim. I think everybody was implicated. That's why that's the nature of a bubble that everybody benefits from.
The complicity was spread around quite a bit. I agree with that.
And so it highlights the challenge that we have today, and that is to control markets in an effective way without intruding on their innovation and freedom.
Can we say manage markets?
Yes.
I don't like the control market statement.
Yeah, well, I think
can we say
point.
Manage market? Can we
exactly.
say husband? Can we say husband markets?
yes. Just read collectively decide on new changes in the system that will make it work better.
But who's in the collective? I don't like some of these words you're using, Bill.
I don't like
the collective term.
Well, I think as a nation, I think that's really the challenge that we're facing right now. The market system has failed us in important ways. I think we have to acknowledge that. The healthcare system, the free market approach failed us. The American healthcare system is about twice as expensive as other nations, and our outcomes are worse.
See, I disagree with you on that, Bill. I think that the marketplace has not failed us, but I do think that government tinkering with it, politicians tinkering with it, and I think there's a role for government in the marketplace. I'm not one of these guys who says there should be no regulations. I'm not one of those guys. But I do think the government tinkering with the marketplace in ways that they shouldn't be tinkering.
Well, that may be.
And forsaking areas that they should be tinkering in.
That
I think that's
be.
The problem. And here's a classic example. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac.
Uh-huh.
Right?
They were badly conceived.
Absolutely. They should not have been a government.
That could be. But the point, that's my same point, really, that we need wise regulation,
I'm with you on that. I agree with that.
They have to be rethought because they're just not doing the job.
I agree.
That's a very hard thing for Americans to accept, but I think we have to face that. And that's why I think some of the criticism of President Obama is misplaced. You know, it'd be nice if we could go back to this pristine textbook ideal of free enterprise. Everybody's free, and it works out through the magic of the marketplace, the invisible hand. But I think scholars around the world are now accepting the fact that there are limits to markets, and they have to be, in your terms, managed. And we have not managed them well.
But they need to be managed by the marketplace, by the people, not by politicians.
Well, politicians are unavoidably involved, Jim.
The problem, though, when you say government,
issues.
When you say governments, you think it sounds, when we all say government, it sounds like maybe some kind of a benevolent, wise organization.
No.
When you realize that governments are run by politicians, that's when the things break down. Hold on to that thought. Right back with Bill Hallal. Always a spirited discussion with our good friend Bill Hallal. Tintel, stay with us. Basically, it's got with a few adjustments, but basically that's an example of something that's we talked about it earlier, Bill. It's a global brain. Yeah, and you know that's something that some people are trying to get control over. That's a little scary, but
yes,
Bill, I'm going to give you the last segment. I'm going to let you go because I want you to get your ideas out on the future. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to finish the point we were making earlier about managing markets. You know, this is a very difficult point, but nobody wants to inhibit freedom or innovation. But the design of the system has to be agreed upon in consensus of some kind, especially between left and right. We need consensus on how we're going to make these big changes in our systems because they dominate the system. It doesn't. Shouldn't intrude on personal freedoms. That's my point upon that. Now, one of the major things that we have talked about, you and I, in the past, to resolve these issues is to redefine the corporation itself into a collaborative enterprise. That was the term I like to use.
Mm-hmm.
Because knowledge is created when we collaborate with other parties.
I definitely think that the future of the major corporation is going to change a lot more than it's going to morph. It's going to evolve a lot more dramatically in the next generation than small business will.
Yeah, I definitely think that's true. Yeah, the big corporation. small businesses, I think, are viable just as they are.
This is our century, Bill, in my opinion.
Yeah. In fact, the real challenge for big business is to emulate small business, to transform themselves into collections of small enterprises that collectively form the corporation, so that they're modeled after small
businesses. I could see how that could be part of the future.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, the distributed corporation.
Yeah, because see, this is something that I'm working on, Bill, right now, something I call the age of the customer. The customer is the corporations aren't going to do that because they like it. They're going to do that because customers will demand
it. Yeah, so every unit is accountable to its customers.
On a more granular basis than a huge mega corp can do.
Yeah,
can accomplish.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I agree with that.
So we could have the benefits of size and the agility of a small enterprise.
Major corporations that want to be relevant in the 21st century will do what you just said.
Yeah, but in addition to that, I think there is a need for the business firm to address these collective problems. It can't just focus on the interests of its shareholders alone any longer. And that, I think, includes the interests of its employees and its clients, the customers.
You're talking about the corporation as a global citizen.
Yeah, exactly. And for its own benefit as well, because it becomes a stronger enterprise.
Right, absolutely.
If it uses the resources of its employees and the resources of its community in a kind of a relationship, working relationship with them, that, I think, is a very powerful thing that we could focus on.
Right. One of the things, Bill, and we don't have time to talk about a lot right now, but I want you to think about it, and we can come back and talk about it next time, maybe a little bit more. There are so many disruptors that are happening right now.
Wow.
that we hail as exciting and important innovations, right? But are some of those disruptors producing changes beyond what human society is capable of absorbing? Is the velocity too fast?
Yes, that's right. Especially the growth of industrialization around the world.
And
China's still growing 12% per year. Last year, I think it grew.
So when we see disruptors, when we think about disruptors, whether they're good or bad isn't the problem. The issue is, can we deal with it? And when you come back soon, and let's talk about that.
Well, that's what the global mega crisis
It's what it's all about. And let's talk about this some more. I want to keep peering into your book. That's the new book, folks. But the one that you can buy right now that I know you're going to want is called Technology's Promise, wherever books are sold. Bill's website is techcast.org. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Great job today.
Jim,
We'll see you next time. Bill Hallal, ladies and gentlemen. I told you we'd get smarter when Bill joined us. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.